So, Micah, I have to add another chapter or another saying to the man code book. I gotta add it.
What's the new man code? I'm sure it's one of these unwritten ones that nobody talks about, but should be in place or already is. But what is it? What's up?
Man code number 157. A man shall not let another man put license plates on his car. I was at the dealership trying to get my license plate, and they were like, yeah, we can get this service guy to put them on for you. And I'm like, nah, I'm okay. They're like, are you sure? And I was like, nah, I'm not gonna let another man put my own license plates on. That's not right. You should be able to put your own license plate on your car.
Listen, man, it's a couple screws. It's like, give me the license plate. I gotta, you know, and here's the thing. I think that's a test of anything, right? And what I don't like about dealerships is they be making assumptions about you. They be like, oh, I don't think this guy really does it. It's like, bro, Ben, give me that license plate. I've got me a Phillips head in the car. It's like, I will literally put that thing on right now.
Exactly. Yeah, I was thinking about that, and I was like, that's one that needs to be added to, like, the man code. The same thing about, like, not talking to each other in the urinals. That's one that needs to be added. It's like, nah, you're not going to let another man put your license plates on. And I know you may be thinking, that's toxic masculinity. No, it's not. You should be able to put two screws on the freaking license plate.
Now, what do you say about, like, changing your own tire? Like, for me, like, call AAA for other things, but changing your own tire? No, sir. Like, I feel like you should be able to do that on your own, especially if you got a spare and everything's in right working order, which, again, that's also a test. It's like being prepared in those moments.
Yeah, I think so. Unless it's in the situation where the bolt is just too tight and it won't come off the car, then yeah, like, maybe get some help getting the bolts loosened. But to just sit there and watch somebody else change your own tire for you, yeah, you need some help. Everyone should be able to learn how to change a tire. I don't care if you're a guy or a girl. Everyone should know.
We're extending, if you're driving a motor vehicle, you should know how to do it. I'm going to extend this for another 2 seconds. My thing is, have you ever sat there and, like, maybe it's my ego, but, like, I will try that bolt for hours before I call somebody. Like, I know that's pretty bad, but it's like, listen, I'm going to get this thing off. And a lot of times it just takes a lot of persistence, but, like, I've been there for a long time doing that. I don't know about you.
Oh, I usually use, like, physics, so I kind of get the if it's that crowbar, I get it to where it's, like, kind of at, like, the fulcrum point, and then I just kind of, like, jump on the, but I'm a kind of a lighter guy, so I just jump on the thing and then it usually loosens up for me.
Man, I've had that, but I've had rusted bolts too, and I'm telling you, it's been a combination of doing that and WD-40 for a long time, and it's not a fun thing.
Well, I'm Chris.
And I'm Micah.
And this is the Donut Box Podcast. Welcome to another week, another episode. What's shaking?
You know, I had a TED Talk for the elderly this week. That was kind of interesting. Not really a TED Talk, but I gave them a little
seminar
deal about cybersecurity. Yeah, a seminar about cybersecurity. And I think they understood it because it started a fight. So that was great.
You're going to have to expound on that.
Man, so I was actually explaining cybersecurity and AI, and we get into the subject of AI. And which, of course, you know, AI is kind of that weird thing that not a lot of people understand, but you hear a lot of things about. And so I kind of just went into a brief deal, showed them ChatGPT, kind of some of the features that it had, and immediately the room broke into two camps. One was, why would we even need that kind of stuff? That takes away from creativity. What are our kids even learning nowadays? And then the other side of the room is like, hey, that's pretty cool. That would have saved me so much time at work. Do you know how many letters I had to type on the typewriter and how many things I had to dictate and all this other stuff? And it's like, you're telling me you could just put it into this machine and it does all that for you in just a few seconds? It's like, yep, I am. And they were mind blown by that. So yeah, it was like, I guess it went well. And these people are stingy, man. They will walk out on you if it's not good. So it's like, nobody walked out. So that was like, I consider it went pretty well, I guess. I'm going to be on that personal care home tour very soon. You know what I mean? All across the country.
Yeah. The gray hair comedy tour. I love it. Instead of the blue collar comedy tour, it's the gray hair comedy tour.
Yeah, it's great. I love it. But man, we have a really good podcast this week. We're back to our free flow and we're just chilling, man. We're chilling. And what we're having today is, you know, I don't know how you formatted yours. We've been just kind of asking each other questions and interviewing each other. I've really formatted mine with would you rather questions. I've got a bunch of those. And I know you got some questions for me too. So, man, do you want to get cracking?
Yeah, mine's kind of a more thought-provoking questions for you. And again, Micah and I have been friends for 21 years, but there's always stuff I get to learn about him. And I'm pretty sure I've asked this before on a previous podcast. So if I have, please forgive me. But what is something that people like underestimate you on? Like you're like, hey, like I usually put people prove people wrong about this about me.
I think a lot of times it's being too nice, or like people take my kindness for weakness, I guess. I have that happen like a ton. And so I think for me, it's because he's nice, he's just going to let whatever fly. And yeah, that don't happen. It's like, especially over the years, I've learned how to lay down boundaries and say, nope, we're not going to let that stuff fly. And so I think that's one of the biggest things about me. And then something else that I've had randomly, I've had four people in my life randomly just be like, you know, you have a face that I just want to punch. I don't know why. And like, people have just told me that. So apparently I have a face that people just want to punch. That's something else on top of that.
Is there like a skill set that maybe you have that people are like, oh wow, I didn't know Micah could do that?
That I know of? Nah, not really. I think everybody on the podcast knows pretty much everything. I pretty much just love planes and football. It's kind of the two main deals. Like there's a few side things, but like anything else, I don't know if there's like any hidden talents there or anything.
I will say there is one thing that people kind of underestimate you on, and please, I hope you take this as a compliment, not as an insult, but I think people underestimate how like intelligent you really are. It's not that like you come off as dumb or anything, but like when you look at you, you're kind of like, oh, this is nice and goofy guy, but they don't really know how intelligent you are until they start talking to you for a while and start getting to know you. And so I think that's something that people underestimate you, is how smart you really are and how intelligent you are. And kind of how your brain works a little bit different.
What are you saying? I look stupid or something? No, I'm joking.
Not what I'm saying. I just gave you a compliment.
No, I'm joking. That's cool, man. No, I totally get you. It is very true. There are a lot of people that, for some reason, do underestimate how intelligent I could be and things like that, which, I mean, they're loss. But what about you, man? What do you feel?
I think maybe I've said this before, but people, when I get like on a microphone and speak, people are like, wow, I didn't know that came out of him. And it's like, yeah, they just kind of underestimate me and that, or just like my ability to, I guess, achieve things just from looking at me. I guess because I'm a smaller guy, because I'm quiet, a lot of people would think, oh yeah, that guy is kind of just maybe on the back burner. But I feel like I've kind of been underestimated my whole life, and especially when I worked with little guys movers, people underestimated how strong I really was. They were like, oh yeah, there's no way you're picking that up, you're gonna struggle, and I don't know how you can lift that. And then I would lift it every single time. And so I think that's one thing that people also underestimate, the thug in me, boy. That Atlanta comes out sometimes, bro. It just comes out. And I can't help it. People would look at me and be like, oh really? And it's like, I didn't know he jammed T.I. like that, or I didn't know he jammed Usher like that. And I'm like, yeah, man, I jam him like that.
It's because you got so much talent on the stage, but at the same time, you could be chill outside of that. And, you know, it's cool because you're multidimensional, and not a lot of people are, you know what I mean? What you see is what you get from a lot of people. And so kind of having, I wouldn't say like multiple faces, because of course the whole two-face thing sounds bad, but you know what I mean? Like just having you on the side versus professional you, and can delineate those things. You know, that's a talent a lot of people want to have and don't have. So that's good. But I will say this on your strength. Geez, I'll attest to this. This man is pretty dang strong. I've moved with him a few times, and I mean, he's got, like, you look at him and he does have little stature, but dude's all muscle. Like, I mean, I don't think you got an ounce of fat on your body. I think it's just all muscle. And the thing is, it's all about technique too. And, you know, I think that, just different things that we've done, like with the church and stuff like that, taught us technique over the years, and I think that really helped over time. But yeah, like, this dude's strong. Like, a lot of people underestimate that.
Let me ask just one more follow-up question. What would you say your superpower is? Like, if you say, man, I'm really good at X, this is my superpower.
Man, we've kind of talked about this, and I know this sounds kind of weird, but like, call it gift of prophecy, call it whatever, but like, man, my gut is rarely wrong, and that's, I don't know, gift of perception, or like gift of kind of knowing what's around the corner. Now, I'm not sitting here saying like, oh, I can predict the future. No, I wish that'd be great if you could predict the future and stuff like that, but no, I can't do that. But it's just one of those things, through a series of maybe dreams or feelings or things like that, you kind of see what's coming around the corner. And I don't know, like, and for me, I feel like that's kind of, I don't know if that's necessarily a talent, but it's definitely helped me over the years. I would say that. And like, if I had to say like, yeah, that's something that's really strong. And again, it's just really benefited me over the years, almost like a superpower. Definitely that. For the first would you rather question. So you went for deep philosophical questions. I'm just, would you rather. Would you rather always have to go places and sing instead of speaking, or dance everywhere you went?
Ooh, that's a tough one. Maybe dance, because I'm like, the singing is like, if a high school musical.
Man, nobody wants to hear
musicals
are
like a real
that.
Life thing, and you just all of a sudden break out in a song. People, that gets on people's nerves, like
more than dancing does. Trust me, we've all been in a Whataburger at 10 o'clock after a theater show's let out, and all the theater kids are singing their crap. We've been there. We don't want to see it anymore. Like I know what you mean. I get you. I think for me, I think it's probably the same thing. Dancing. I'm a terrible dancer. I'm also a terrible singer. So, you know, it's kind of a pick your poison, but at least singing, I feel like I'm more embarrassed about. If I have to sing in front of people, I'm way more embarrassed about that than having to dance in front of people. I can kind of make some stuff up on the fly dancing wise. So.
Cool, though. Back to switching gears back to the serious question. I think we're going to be good cop, bad cop, or serious cop and silly cop today. But
yeah, I guess
what,
so.
What is something in your life that maybe was a failure or it didn't work out, and at the time you were like, oh man, like, this broke my heart, but looking back on it, you're like, I'm glad that failed, or I'm glad this didn't work out.
We're going to go into exes on the podcast. My ex-girlfriend, man, that's the first thing that comes to my mind. You know about it. But for those of you on the podcast who don't know, man, it was a rough journey, and I was able to get out of it. And I remember at the time really asking God, like, man, why did this not work out? Because, you know, to save y'all a really long story, basically her stepfather passed away, and I kind of, like, she was living at home with her folks and whatnot at the time. And they were very old school Mexican, like they were from Mexico, right? And they were very old school. And that old school principle is like, the ladies stayed at home and the guys went out work. Well, without a guy being there, I was the only one. And I was living there without living there, if that makes sense. And so, but it was like, okay, well, somebody's got to make the money. And so I started picking up like 16-hour shifts and things like that, and to make ends meet for these guys. And come to find out, she ended up cheating on me during that time. And the excuse was, is because you're never around. That was the thing. It's like, yeah, because I'm having to work for everybody around here. And unfortunately, you watch Cheaters. That's a lot of what happens, even though some of them are fake. But like, the real ones, it's like, yeah, I've been there. But anyways, so that happened, right? But like, I thought at the time, naive self, like, I thought like, this is the one that I'm going to marry. And so like, you know, you got to forgive and stuff like that. And so I tried to make it work, and like, it just wasn't working, right? It just was not working at all. And, you know, I was just kind of asking God, like, man, why is this not working? And it just became very clear, because it's not the right thing to do. And, you know, at the time I did not see that at all, but it was just like, let time play out and see what happens. And, you know, that's when I ended up meeting my wife. So it ended up working out, you know what I mean? And I had to get past that. But at the time, man, I thought why in the heck is this happening? You know, like, this doesn't make any sense. I thought this was the woman you brought me. And, but, you know, when you're in that kind of toxic relationship, you miss a lot of those red flags. You know what I'm saying?
Everybody's got to go through that. And you look back on it later, oh, yeah, and you're like, thank you, Lord, that I dodged a bullet. And so, yeah, for sure, man. And I know that was a very rough time for you. And, you know, we've talked similar about our similar stories. But, man, thankful for the failures that at the time seemed like failures. But you look back and you're like, I'm thankful that happened for sure.
Yeah, heck yeah. Get out of that situation. And, you know, I got to shout out my our good buddy Adrian, which we know he's listening. But you know what? We got to shout him out because this man gave me a nice conversation and he told me how it was. And I'll never forget that about her. And, you know, it's one of those things. A lot of times when people are in bad relationships, there are very few people that'll tell you actually what's going on and be straight up with you. And those are your homies, right? And I'm telling you, like, Chris tried to tell me, Adrian tried to tell me. And so I'll never forget that. But Adrian's conversation, I love the way he, if I could approach more people like Adrian, it'd be great. Anyways, all right. So my next question, switching back to a lighter subject here. Would you rather have the ability to fly, but it's only for 10 minutes a day? So like 10 minutes every 24 hours, or be invisible, but that's only while you're eating?
I would probably go, so can I like grab a bag of chips and walk and eat and then be invisible?
Yeah, yeah, pretty
I think
much.
I would take the invisible thing. I don't really know why I would want to be invisible because that was never like a, hey, that's what I want as a superpower. But if you're only going to fly 10 minutes a day, I don't think it's worth it.
You don't think it's worth honest. It for 10 minutes?
No, not for 10 minutes.
Man, I'm just saying, if you want to stay invisible for a long period of time, one, you got to pick a food that is not, like you said, chips. Like, yeah, you'd be invisible, but people still hear you crunching. And then two, you got to, like, get something to where it'll last you a while. Like, and I know we're going in on this, but my mind always delves in. Is it only while you're chewing? Like, could you do chewing gum and would you keep going? Like, stuff like that. I don't know. But I don't know. For myself, of course, I like to fly. So I'm just like, fly 10 minutes a day. Be my best 10 minutes of every day.
This one is kind of a lighter one. If you had money or connections or whatever, and you could get involved in any business or maybe like cause or anything like that, what business or company would you want to be like involved in? Like you're like co-owner, you're invested, your hands are in.
Oh man, they're very easy choices. So you're saying if I'm a billionaire or had connections and it's just like, hey, we're going to do something. One, it's going to be a sports team of some kind. Two, it's going to be an airline. One of the two. Those are the two businesses I'm interested in. And my thing is, it's like I could airline is tough, though. I don't know if I'd want to do that. Sports, probably better, because as an owner, you can sit in the box and enjoy every, well, unless you're a loser team. But I guess I'd probably want to do sports team more than airline. Airline sounds good in theory. I feel like if you don't, I feel like it's just a volatile business to run, though. So it's better in theory than in reality, but a sports team for sure. I don't know, like NFL or NBA.
You know me, I'd get involved with the WWE, you know. You know I would. I'd be right there with Triple H.
Here's my question, though. If you had enough money, would you make another wrestling company like that would rival WWE and AEW?
No, I don't think I would because WWE does so many things that work so well. And like to start another wrestling promotion, like, you can have the talent, but you really need, like, the bookers. You need the road people. Like, there's so many behind-the-scenes stuff. Like, I just want to get on board with WWE and be like, all right, like, I like what's already built. Let's try to change it and make it go forward. I just want to be involved, to be honest with you.
So, you're like, listen, Saudis, or because it wasn't the company that bought them, the same one from the WWE that bought Zuffa. I think they're from Saudi Arabia. It's like, listen, I'm going to buy it from you guys. You need more money than the folks in Saudi, Chris, to do this. Who else is involved? Isn't, no, he's involved in the other one, the Jaguar owner's son.
Oh, yeah, that Nick, not Nick Khan, Tony Khan. Yeah, he's involved in AEW.
Okay, yep, you are right. Would you rather live in a world where it rained all the time, or would you rather live in a world where it never rained?
Like right now where I live at? Is that what you're asking? Would I rather live in Lubbock all the time or what? Because it never rains here. It rains like maybe four times a year. I guess the rain. But they say like when it rains all the time, it is depressing. But I do like the rain.
But here's my question. Like when we lived in Augusta, I feel like in the summertime, it was like almost every day there'd be like a storm or a shower or something like that. Now, that is definitely different than having it all the stinking time. But I did enjoy having a lot more rain than, I mean, even down here, it doesn't rain a ton. So, it's like I do kind of miss that aspect, so I think I would choose the rain as well. My questions are going short. I guess would you rather questions are short, but good thing I have a lot of
them. Now, I know that probably whatever age you were when you were a kid or maybe a teenager, every kid has that dream of like being in the NFL and all that. So let's just say we live in a perfect world where Micah played football in high school and college, got drafted. How do you think that world would play out? Like what position do you think you'd play? What team would you like think you'd be drafted to? And how do you think your life would play out if you got drafted to the NFL?
If it was idealistic, well, I mean, idealistic is always like, okay, super talented, like you were All-American in high school, like All-American in college. So I'm thinking like first round draft pick, and heck yes, I'm a quarterback. Like who wouldn't choose that position, right? And who would I get chosen by in the draft? Man, it'd probably be somebody that sucked. Like the first person that comes to mind is like the Jets, because that's what always happens with first rounders, especially if you're really good. You go to Cleveland or the Jets or trying to think of some other really, really bad teams. I can't say Detroit anymore because they're actually – fairly decent, but you get my drift. You go somewhere pretty bad. So my guess would be the Jets or the Browns. I get beat up for a few years and I get traded over to a team that's actually worth something and make a career out of it. Like I don't know. And then of course idealistic, you want to imagine that it's, you know, 15 to 20 years worth and you do the Tom Brady-esque things. But if you're in a more realistic world, I mean, even quarterbacks, if you start, you might be hot a few years, and then you might tank it. So, I mean, realistic, it'd probably be like 5 years.
Do you think it'd be weird whenever you would play as yourself in Madden?
Yeah, I've always thought about that. Or even like college football now with name, image, and likeness on the college football games, it's the same names. And they're, you know, some of them, the more popular players are modeled after you. So if you play college football, you'll see your own name on the depth chart and play as yourself, which has to be very, very odd. Like, that's got to be weird.
I never got dreamed of being drafted in the NFL, but definitely drafted in the major leagues, and for sure. Not a pitcher. You know, I would probably want to be, like, either center field or one of those places. And
left or right field. You want to be a hitter. That's what you wanted to
do. I love the Braves, so, at the time I wanted to be drafted to the Braves, but either the Braves or the Rangers. I like both those teams, so. Yeah, I think that would be pretty good.
Yeah, heck yeah. If I had a choice of where I got drafted in the NFL, maybe not Miami, but give me like a Florida team. Give me Tampa. I'm still like, yeah, give me Tampa. Tampa would be a nice place to live and play, I think. That's why Tom Brady went there, because no state income tax on all that money, and you get to be in Florida. Speaking of, it's funny that you brought up an NFL question. My next one is an NFL question as well. Would you rather have a prime Tony Romo on the Cowboys, like when he was absolutely at his best, or a 40-year-old Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback?
I think I'm picking 40-year-old Aaron Rodgers. That's what I'm taking.
You think so? You're taking 40-year-old Rodgers?
Yeah, honestly, I think Tony Romo at his best. He wasn't a leader, man. Tony Romo wasn't a leader. I can at least say Aaron Rodgers is a leader, and I think that's what you really need as a quarterback to help make your team better. Because you can be, like, a great quarterback, but if you're not a leader, like, y'all aren't winning nothing.
Yeah, it's just hard for me taking Rodgers with some of the stuff that he's been, you know, and some of the on-the-field stuff and then off-the-field. I think you'd be... it's hard because the management side of me knows that he'd be a hard to deal with. And at 40, he doesn't have that much time left. I would try to take my chances with Romo and get him a line and see what happens.
My question is, next question, this is kind of a lighter question. What is a, like, some, not big things, but maybe some little things that people do that annoy you, whether it's like crunching sounds, clicking the pen, certain smells, like what are some little things that you're just like, oh, that annoys me?
Playing phone videos out loud. That's one of the biggest things for me. I can't stand that stuff. Also, people like biting their nails. That gets me. I don't know. It really gets me. Yeah, I guess those are the biggest two things that come to my mind. It's people, again, it's mainly people that's like, you could totally put in headphones, but they don't, especially on planes and in airports. Like, that seems to happen a lot, where people just play their videos out loud and don't really care. And especially when you have, like, a bunch of them all playing together. That's what used to drive me nuts about going to the Golden Corral in Augusta. You had all that rap music playing on top of each other. And it's just like, I'm good with a good rap song, but not when there's 30 different ones playing out loud on your cell phone. Like, it's just not good.
Mine is when you're in a public place and you take your shoes off and you're walking around with bare feet, like, in the office.
Who the heck does that?
I can name one person. Well, I can't name them on this podcast, but I'll tell you after the podcast.
I gotta guess.
My place of employment on a Sunday morning, with no shoes.
Man, some people are cool with walking barefoot places. I am not one of those people. Do you know how dirty some of these places are?
In your own home, it's fine, but in public places, no.
Like, my thing is, and especially because at your own home, you know how often you clean and what you do. Like, it even bothers me getting to my socks in the airport. Like, I don't see how some of these people are like, oh, yeah, I'll just wear flip-flops and go barefoot. It's like, do you know how many people walk through here with their dirty behind shoes? Like, why would you want to do that? It's like, that's just asking to get fungi and all sorts of crap all over yourself. I don't play with none of that. I can't. Yeah, that bothers me. Something else that bothers me is people who don't necessarily, how do I put this? They don't know, they're not aware of their surroundings. And so maybe they're talking to the person next to them. And I don't know, call me old fashioned. But when you're in front of children or things like that, I really don't think that you should be extremely like just talking about certain things or cussing in front of their face. Like, kids already get enough crap from the internet and stuff like that. And it's another thing where, like, where was I at the other day? I was at a restaurant, I think, or something. And there was one table, and it was just like, yeah, I told that effing B of my ex-wife that she needs to go to, you know, and like, he was just going on and on and on. And there was this kid sitting across the table, or like on a different table, but like, and you could just tell maybe this kid is just not used to cussing and stuff like that, but his eyes were like so big, like, holy crap. He's like, holy crap, that guy is going off. But it was just like, it was obvious that like everybody was just uncomfortable, you know what I mean? And he was just being very obnoxious. And it was just like, I don't care if you have those conversations. I really don't. And I don't care if you use that kind of language, but maybe let's not have the whole restaurant hear about that. You know what I mean?
He said, I told my ex-wife to go to H-E-L-L double hockey sticks. To quote Michael Scott.
H-E double hockey sticks. Yep. Yep.
Remember when you people used to say that? It was like H-E double hockey sticks.
H-E double hockey sticks. For sure. I'm telling you, dude, it was wild. Bro, we went out to a couple restaurants here lately, and like, typically if we get food, like, we'll bring it in, but like, we've went to a few restaurants, man, the people watching has been great. I don't know, me and my wife have hardly had to say anything. We just watch people and see, like, it's
oh, do
wonderful.
You like to make up stories about them? I like to make up stories about those people, the people, and be like, oh yeah, like, and me and you do this sometimes, and most of the time, like, it's like, I don't want to say get the prophecy, but that gift of discernment is like, oh yeah, you can tell they're on a date and they're both married to other people, or oh yeah, this or that.
That happened today. Me and my wife were at lunch over here, and at this Mexican food place over here, and we were sitting there, and there was a guy and a gal, and I told, like, Meg and I were, because you don't want to like talk about it out again, you know. making sure that you're not, you don't want to be obnoxious and be like, yeah, those people are talking about this. So we were texting back and forth, and I texted her. I was like, oh yeah, I could tell that they worked together, but they, you know, there were side pieces for each other, because each one of them was talking about their, and then all of a sudden they started talking about their spouses, and then they had like other girlfriends and boyfriends and stuff. They were talking about like other people and stuff, and it was just like, yeah, my daughter doesn't really like my other girlfriend. And it's like, yeah, because you're married. And they were like talking about it. It's just like, okay, well, text me when you're off and I'll go over to your place. And I was just like, yep, found it. It was great. Like that stuff. I don't know. Sometimes they just tell your their whole life story, too. You don't have to make nothing up for them. They'll just tell you. Like, you just listen, you hear all about it.
It's free entertainment.
Yeah, it is. Hey, if you're going to put it out there in public, I might as well listen. Dinner and a show. Or in this case, lunch and a show. Next question. Would you rather be 10 minutes late always or always be 45 minutes early?
45 minutes early. I hate being late. You know me. I hate being late. Like, I don't know what that is about me. But even if I'm 10 minutes late, I just can't do it. And I'd rather be somewhere early. I can find something.
For me, the 45-minute part is what kills me. I really don't like being somewhere that early, especially, you know, when you get there and it's like they're still setting stuff up or whatever. Like, I don't like that either. But I totally get what you're saying. Has there ever been an occasion where you did show up extremely early?
No, because usually I try to not ever be the first person there. If it's like a social gathering, I know it's probably like social anxiety, but I kind of like scope it out. Like, so even if I'm early, like I'll drive around the block like a few times and then be like, oh, is there another car there? Okay, cool deal. And so, if I'm like, oh, there's no other cars here, I know I'm super early and no, sir.
And it's just like, yeah, I'm not going in there. I totally get you. I remember the earliest time I was ever somewhere was I got to school, and this was the earliest I'd ever showed up to school. For some reason, my male parental unit, it was icy and snowy outside. And for Georgia, that is very, very, that doesn't happen very much, right? But it wasn't bad enough to shut down the schools. And so I remember he was like, yeah, I'm going to take you because the roads are like the, you know, everybody's going to be all messed up on the roads and everything. So he brought me to school and it was 6 a.m. and school didn't start till 7:45. And I remember getting there and like, kind of like Chris said, I had to wait outside. Like I remember waiting outside, then they had to like open the school up. It was dark out and everything. I remember being so early and like the teacher's like, what are you doing here so early? I'm like, my dad dropped me off, said that the roads were going to be too bad.
This was at elementary school?
No, this was at high school. This was high school.
Oh, at high school. Okay. So there was a little bit of drive. I was like, if it was elementary school, you could have just walked there.
Yeah, yeah. No, elementary school, I could have walked there. Middle school, I definitely couldn't have walked there. You know what I think is wild, man? And I know we're going on a weird tangent, and maybe I've never said this on the podcast, but it's weird that I'm going to be able to tell my kids, like, yeah, I went to a middle school that was a former, like, it was so old that it was a former segregated school. Like, there was a plaque about it and stuff. Like, that's kind of weird to think about. I don't know. I think about that, too. And then the high school was kind of the same way. Like, the main part was from the 60s. So, weird place. But, anyways.
Okay, what is a guilty pleasure show that you like to watch? Maybe it's with your wife. But you don't necessarily, when people ask your favorite show, you don't mention that one because you're like, oh, this is kind of a guilty pleasure show, or I know I'm going to get judged if I say I like this show. Safe space, by the way.
And then you're going to make me say it on the podcast here.
These people don't know you like that.
Some of them might. I think only Murder is in the Building, but that's not one that I'm like ashamed to say anything about.
That's not a guilty pleasure show.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know if I necessarily have one because all of my shows that I'd be liking to watch, I'm just like... Now, the only one that I do be getting some weird looks at, and this is kind of different than what you're asking, though, is people will be like, what football games are you watching? And typically, it'll be like, I'm watching Idaho versus Idaho State this weekend. And people will be like, do what? Why those two? And it's like, well, it's an in-state rivalry. I don't care if they're good, bad, or indifferent. If it's like they're an in-state rivalry, there are certain ones that I watch every single year. And it's kind of like, even if both teams haven't won a game to this point, I'll watch it. It's kind of different.
There you go. I'm going to tell you mine. And no judgment. I already went on record saying I like Billie Eilish. So I guess it's okay. All bets are off. My secret guilty pleasure show, I'm going to say it on the podcast, is Married at First Sight.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I get invested in the couples, man, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I hope Jasmine and John work out. They seem like they're so great. And I'm like, are they going to get divorced? And I'm like, man, I don't know. He's really treating her pretty bad. I was like, I hope they stay together, though, and work it out.
Man, it's not as bad as, like, The Bachelor or Bachelorette. It's not that bad.
And I will admit, I have seen some Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, but I don't like that show.
What was the one that my wife wanted me to watch? I love you, honey. We were watching it one time. What is it called? Oh, Love and Hip Hop. Like, that was one that we watched. And I was just like, I found out so much stuff about the rappers that from my childhood that I was just like, this dude is soft. Like, that's what I found out about that. Because I found out about Lil Scrappy. I was like, that dude was nothing like I thought he was going to be. That dude's soft. That dude's a mama's boy is what he is. Anyways, here we are over here insulting old Lil Scrappy. This next one's kind of a weird question, dog. So sometimes my brain works in weird ways, so just forgive me. Would you rather have to fight one horse-sized duck or 100 duck-sized horses?
100 duck-sized horses. A horse-sized duck? Ducks are mean.
Ducks are mean, and could you imagine how, you know, if it's a horse size with horse strength? Oh, yeah. Like, you got problems. I think you got problems.
Yeah, I'm not fighting that duck.
Like, I mean, don't get me wrong. It'd probably hurt for hundreds of them thing to attack you and, like, kick your legs or something. But you could always, you know, with one sweep of the foot, I feel like you could take a bunch out. So, again, I don't know why my mind thinks of these questions sometimes, but go ahead. What's the next
one? What is, like, one book or play that you read in high school that really, like, it impacted you or it really challenged you to think about things in a different way?
Believe it or not, I still don't understand why I really like Julius Caesar. Like, I really like Julius Caesar. I don't know why. But I like the whole storyline and the betrayal and just, it was, I guess what I found very interesting is before that, yeah, I learned about the Romans and things like that, but I didn't understand how much of a government structure, how similar it was to ours. And so it made it very relatable, I feel like, at least in my opinion. And so, yeah, I think that, and not to mention, I got to be Mark Anthony in the play, so that might have had something to do with it.
I think mine was one that I was fascinated by, and it really kind of challenged me to think outside the box, was Death of a Salesman, just because it's like, how much of this is like made up in his mind, and you're kind of like, it's really sad to read the whole thing, because you're like, this guy is part of a dying business, and like, he's kind of going crazy, and his family's falling apart, and so it was kind of hard too. But also Fences, did you read Fences?
I didn't read Fences, no.
So Fences is an African-American play, and it's about this guy, Troy Maxson, and he's this really rough dad that, like, didn't get a shot in baseball, and he's, like, horrible to some of his kids. And, like, it's really interesting because he's a very complex character, and so it's kind of interesting, like, I don't know, way to think about things, because you feel bad for him, but he's doing some pretty messed up stuff. So you're kind of like, yeah, like, I don't agree with that, but I understand, like, why he's acting that way.
I totally get you. Now, let me ask you this. You went to a fine arts magnet school. Was there one play or production that your magnet school put on that you say, you know what, that was probably the best one that I went to, and I remember that one the most?
Ooh, probably the best one. I would say really Beauty and the Beast. That was probably one of the better ones they put on. So what they would do is they would do like plays, but they would do major productions like every 2 years. And so I only got to see...
I remember it was Seussical the Musical.
Yeah, there
was
Seussical
the
Musical. There was Beauty and the Beast. And then there was... I don't remember what it was my senior year. But the first year, it was Wiley and the Hairy Man or something like that. Oh, yeah, something like that. I don't remember what the other one was. But yeah, it was it was pretty good. And then do you remember that one, Zink the Zebra? It was about this girl with cancer.
Yeah, I do remember that one. It was pretty bad, but I think we roasted part of that play.
I was just there trying to holla, bro. That's what I was trying to do. I showed up and I pulled up. I was trying to holla at one of them girls in the play. And I got her to sign my program and everything. I was trying to be like, oh, yeah, this was the best production I ever done seen. It was great. Oh, dude, let me tell you, there's one that was, like, scary, like, creepily eerie. They did, I think it wasn't the Black History Show. It was Fine Arts Festival. And they did an interpretive dance to the theme of Jonestown. Like, oh, dude, like, you want to talk about scary and creepy? And they started, like, at the end, they played Jim Jones's voice. Oh, talk about, like, chills. It was bad juju.
That's crazy. On a lighter note, I remember probably my favorite one, and this was a side play, was Noises Off. I thought that one was really funny. It was a British comedy play. That one was really, like, I thought that was really funny. Like, that's the one that stands out to me the most, because So I wasn't really like a musical play guy, but the thing is, it's like Chris's school was like really good at it. You know, they were pretty well known in the area for, so it's like, if you can get tickets to that, like, yeah, you go. And plus I was trying to holler at the girls there too. You try to go to another school to holler at the girls.
I know why you like Noises Off. So Noises Off is a play within a play, but Noises Off is also a British play. So that makes sense why you probably like that. Cause it was probably structured like with British humor, so it makes sense why you probably like that.
And I'm pretty sure the main character modeled himself after John Cleese because he acted just like him, so I'm pretty sure that's probably why I liked it too. But yeah, that was that was pretty good. Your school was really good at that stuff, so watching that was pretty good. But yeah, I was trying to holler at the ladies in the other school too, which was, you know, what it is, what it is. All right, man, I think I know the answer to this one already. Would you rather live without internet or without air conditioning or heating?
No internet. I'll take the internet. Like, no internet. This summer was brutal.
Yeah, I knew that was the answer.
My AC wasn't working a lot, and it was brutal. Yeah, I'm okay without living with internet. I actually did live without internet for, let's see, I didn't get internet in being out on my own until 2020. I know that's weird. I didn't have internet for 5 years.
Yeah, no, I remember that because really the only reason I think you got internet was to play PlayStation online with me. I think that was the only reason you got it.
Let me tell you why I couldn't have internet. Let me tell you why. Two words. Actually, three words. My ex-wife. My ex-wife did not want me to have internet, so I couldn't stream shows that she deemed
inappropriate.
And that's the only reason why I never had internet.
And that's a BS. Aren't we glad that we're on the other side?
Because I don't know what I'd do if I couldn't play my PlayStation.
My thing is, internet, it would be hard to live without internet, but man, living in Texas, maybe if you didn't live in Texas, maybe like a steady climate to where it's, you know, 70, 80 degrees all the time. Maybe you don't need maybe you don't need air conditioning and heating. But man, in Texas, even in the wintertime, you're going to need the heat. You know what I mean? It's not just air conditioning. You're going to need the heat too. So yeah, I'm definitely taking air conditioning and heating myself.
Maybe it was when you were a kid or maybe recently, but what is a dream that you kind of had to let die or just let go of?
We've kind of talked about this before. I would say, and this is kind of a dumb one, it was football, and I kind of let that one die. I wouldn't say like I had like NFL dreams, because you knew me all through then. Was there ever a time that I was like, here, I'm going to the NFL? I don't ever remember that.
I don't think you even wanted to play in college.
No, but there was a point in high school where I was like, you know what, like, I'm not going to play in college. Like, I'm just going to do this in high school as my side activity. But like, there for a little bit I thought about doing college, like probably freshman and sophomore year. But it was really when I got onto varsity, and you're going to think this is really funny. I don't know if you know this story. So we go to this town, it's called Warner Robins, and they're really big in football now. Like, they're actually nationally ranked and blah, 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 blah. We went to their school, and I'll never forget, their mascot was the Demons. And it was a whole big thing, a controversy down there. Because, I mean, it's Georgia, right? And the local team's called the Demons. They did not like that. But anyways, when they scored a touchdown, they had this big demon statue that shot fire out of its mouth and fireworks from its pitchfork. It was actually pretty cool. But we show up, and I would say that it was equivalent to a Texas-sized field. Like, in Georgia, we didn't have, like, huge stadiums. Like, we were a 5A school, which was a big school, but our stadium only held probably 3,000 people, which is, like, a very small Texas-sized stadium. Like, it's very small. Itty-bitty towns have 3,000 people stadium kind of thing. And so we go to this stadium, and it was 8,000 people, and it had, you know, a Jumbotron and things like that. And we'd never seen that before. That was one. But I remember stretching, bro, and there was this dude, a very large African-American fellow, and he stepped up, and, like, he was leading the call for their team, and he said, "This is demon country." Not quite like that. It was more like, "This is demon country," and he was this big dude, man, and I just remember thinking to myself, I pity whoever has to go against that guy. I was that guy. I found out very soon. I get out on the field, and I was the guy that was lined up across from this dude. He was committed to play at Clemson. And, yeah, I got demolished all night. Like, all night. I remember my coach before the game said, "If you need any help or need anything, you let me know. Like, we'll talk about it." And we thought he was going to line up on the other side. No, he picked on me. And I'll never forget. I asked Ronnie Graham. I was like, or just say Ronnie. I asked Ronnie, my running back. I said, "Hey, we're going to need to help chip this guy." He went through the both of us. That was the moment that I was like, "Hey, I ain't playing further after this. Like, if I'm getting demolished like this in high school, like, hey, no way I'm going to college."
I was looking back and I found some old pictures of you, like, in high school. And, like, for some reason, like, I thought you were, like, the size, like, you are now. But, like, you were tall back then. You were big, don't get me wrong. But you weren't really, like, that big, like, stocky. Like, you were still kind of skinny. Like, you were tall. You weren't like a beanpole or anything, but you were tall, but you were still kind of skinny. So you weren't like super stocky or super, like,
I would say I'm probably bulkier now than I ever been. Like, I'm pretty bulky right now. Like, I know I look at that too, but, you know, I also attribute it to not having very good eating habits. I had a very fast metabolism, right? And I mean, you can't play football and eat microwave burritos and expect it to go all right. You know what I mean? Like, it just, or Totino's pizza rolls or whatever, or like Rotella and rice. I remember that was another one. And, like, you can't eat that stuff and then not have consistent meals. Like, you have consistent meals, but not consistent calories, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. Run and play football and like that. I remember starting off at the beginning of the season and I'd be 210, and by the end of it, I'd be 175. Like, that's not healthy. So
I'm not trying to throw shade, but you're right. Like, you didn't have those consistent meals. Like, you, I don't really ever remember you guys being like, "Hey, we're gonna have a set time for dinner every night," or even really.
No, it was different times.
Yeah, or like even really in your pantry, dude. Like, you had maybe one or two things, and we've talked about this before. It was just like burritos and like maybe some ramen, but like there wasn't that much to eat, and you kind of had to figure out your own meals. So I get that.
Or like Campbell's chunky soup, which, yeah, they had the football players on the commercial, but really and truly, there's not a lot of calories in there, not for as much as you're burning, you know what I mean? Like, out in the Georgia sun running around and hitting people, like, you burn a ton of calories. And so it's one of those things to where I do think about that, and I'm like, if I was eating, because by the time I got to my senior year, if you remember senior year, I did eat whatever I wanted, and that was because we actually had money because we had jobs and went to the grocery store and bought what we wanted to eat. And so it was like, I remember having stuff on hand, and I even remember there for a while making like rice and ground beef like every night, and I thought that was going to be great for some reason. But like, I don't know if you remember that. That was like I was like, "Yeah, I'm on the rice and ground beef diet." And I just remember you being like, "Okay." Okay.
I just remember having jobs and being able to go to the grocery store and get our own snacks. And they got really upset. They were like, "You don't like the food that's here?" And I'm like, there's not really any food here. So, like, we're going to get our own snacks. That's why we were always going to Burger King late at night. Like, because there was nothing. Like, they didn't have anything in the pantry, or they didn't have anything, like, to eat. And so you're just like, all right, well, we're going to solve this problem. We're not going to ask you to buy more stuff. We're going to spend our own money and we're going to get our own snack.
Well, and not just that, but even if we did take some of the stuff, like say there was honey buns or something like that, it'd be like, oh, now there's only two left. It's like, yeah, there was six in the package. We had two yesterday and then Chris and I had one today. So there you go. Only two left in the package. And then they would get then they'd get real mad. Just like, bro, you can't tell us that it's free game and then not. So there was all sorts of stuff there. But no, I totally get you. But I guess that's for me. That was that moment, that big dude with the Demon Country thing, man. He after that game, I remember that was a long bus ride home, and I thought about my entire life. And I was just like, there ain't no way I'm going to college. I was like, ain't no way I'm going to play college football. Would you rather be able to only eat sweet foods the rest of your life or savory foods the rest of your life? So, like, it's either sweet or savory.
You know I have a sweet tooth, so I guess I would say sweet, probably.
Now, if there's a sweets product that you're like, man, send me boxes of that and I'll be good with that. What are we doing?
I don't know. I like Mike and Ike's. I like, I don't know, like baked goods. I don't know. I just like different.
Do you still like those? What was that thing? I remember, so shout out to your mom, but I remember when we first moved to Texas, I remember she used to send like these care packages just full of these snacks. And what were those things? Like the little rolls, they were blue with like the pink center. You remember that? Like they weren't Laffy Taffy,
oh,
but
like the sweet
tart. I remember
ropes?
We used to eat the mess out of those. Yeah, them sweet tart ropes. I remember eating the mess out of them.
Oh, yeah. That was also, too. My mom helps feed us secretly.
Yeah, that is true. Secretly.
It was like
Jesus.
Prison. We would get our mail call.
Bro, and when it was... Bro, you remember we used to hide the snacks under the bed, too. Like, it's like he had his bed, I would have my... Like, we tucked that box under the bed, too, to make sure nobody else know about them snacks.
It was like prison. It really was. Of course, it's not like prison, for sure. But yeah,
no,
waking up early, go do work. There wasn't hardly nothing to eat. We were having to eat ramen, and then we get those care packages, so we were hiding contraband.
Yeah, man, listen, yeah, it's funny because all the stuff in the pantry was basically, it was basically like commissary. It was commissary items that people get in prison. It's like oh, you want a Totino's pizza? It's like, that's what you got. Ramen, all that other stuff. That's great.
Next question: what is the most meaningful risk you've taken that like has paid off for you?
It's hard because I feel like there's a lot of risks that have paid off, but there's not like there's a few big ones in the works that's like I just need a few more things and I could say that massive thing worked out. You know what I mean? I would say the risk in getting into the IT career worked out, man. That was a big risk. You know, talking about something that was like failure and have to give up on. Reason I didn't say flying is because I haven't given up on that. I know I'm coming back to it, right? Like, I know it's just on hold. But jumping from that into IT, that was a big risk. It's like, what if this doesn't work out? And a measure of success for me is part of the reason that I went into that career field is because you've all heard the term. It's not what you know is who you know sometimes. And I knew more people in that industry at the time. Now, all these people, I have nothing to do with them no more. And I've made my own name in the industry and doing my own thing. Now, in no way am I saying like, oh, I'm this high up thing, but it's going well. Like, I mean, it's going very well, especially for somebody my age, it's going well. And so you know, I even try to remind myself a lot. There was a time where Micah was struggling. I was an Uber driver, right? I was studying for this test just to get my foot in the door into IT. I failed that test twice, and it was $500 a pop, and I failed it twice. And that was, I mean, you want to talk about some gut-wrenching times. Because when you're barely making your bills, scraping up $500 and failing is that's hard. That's really, especially when you have to look, like, she's my wife now, but when you have to look your girlfriend in the face and be like, man, we're going to have to hustle to figure this out, you know? And so it's like, there was that, but then I think about that and end up finally passing that test, end up moving my way up and end up you know, at least in my company, making a good name for myself and things like that is, that's big. You know, that's the biggest thing. It's like, take that risk and fell down a few times and could have given up, but didn't happen. I would say it paid off. How about yourself?
Probably one of them for sure was moving to Texas. That was definitely a big risk, moving across the country. After all I've ever known is Augusta, Georgia, right? Like, I have my buddy Micah that's there with me, but really, essentially, like, I'm out here on my own. Like, I'm leaving my mom, my dad, my brother, like, my friends. I'm leaving a whole life behind, and that was a big risk, but I knew it was the right risk, and I was excited for the adventure, and I'm so thankful that I ended up here in Lubbock and just, you know, that I got to be able to just experience Texas, man, because after I got here, dude, it was home for me. Like, it really was. And so it was a hard transition, like being away from my family. But I think that was a big risk. And then not to be like a Debbie Downer, but I think at the moment where, like, I finally was like, you know what, I'm done with my ex-wife, because my ex-wife and I, even after the divorce, like, there were a little bit of times where we're like, okay, maybe this will work. And I remember being in the spot of, hey, I'm going to have to choose between my best friend and I'm going to have to choose between her, because it was basically kind of that ultimatum for her. And I remember being like, yeah, no, like, I'm going to choose my best friend and I'm going to choose to walk away from this, because it was a really hard situation to get out of. Like, it really was. When people like that have control over you, it's hard to walk away. It really is. But, and I was like, man, like, I hope I'm not screwing my life up. But in that, like, you know, my life is so much better having walked away from that. Like, I'm in a job that's great, and I have my best friend, and I have my wonderful wife. Like,
and you get to play PlayStation now. So.
And I get to play PlayStation, and I don't have to worry about what I'm playing. I don't have to worry about getting chewed out because I went to McDonald's that day. Like, it's wild. We can go into that another day because that's a whole podcast.
That's a whole thing. All right, man. So next question. This one's kind of a thinker. Would you rather travel back in time to meet your ancestors or travel forward to meet your descendants?
Ooh, that's kind of a hard one. Because first off the bat, I was like, I want to travel to meet my descendants because I want to see, like, okay, like, you know, how did I do, like, with the legacy that I left? I think I'm a little scared to travel back to meet my ancestors because I'm like, I don't know what kind of crazy stuff y'all done.
Yeah, and my thing is, it's like, on my end, I'll tell you this much. I'm like, I'm questioning, would I even like y'all?
I don't think so. But I am curious, kind of like the bloodline and the story. Like, I kind of know a little bit of the bloodline, but I'm just curious of where that came from. But I guess I would say to meet my descendants just to see how it all turned out.
Yeah, for sure. I think for me, it's really hard, and I hate to be like a mixture of both. If I were to go meet my descendants, I think it would be probably the ones that I have not heard about. Like, who is my descendant from 500 years ago, right? And see what this person was like, potentially. Somebody that, you know, would be so far back that you probably couldn't track down. You know what I mean? And then if it's somebody who's descendant, I'm thinking, like, grandkids, great-grandkids. See how my kids did. You know, like, how did I do parenting and how did it trickle down? You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of where I'd be curious.
I only have two more. I maybe have asked you this before, so if I have, please forgive me. Anybody, dead or alive, who is your starting five?
For basketball?
Basketball.
Oh, man. Okay. I'm going to say for center, okay, I'm going to skip to power forward. Tim Duncan for power forward. You know what? For small forward, I'm going to shock everybody. I'm going to do Josh Smith, the old Atlanta Hawks player. Bro, if he was on, like, a massive team, watch him work. That thing would, he would have been great. So Josh Smith, and then shooting guard, I would say probably Kobe. And then point guard, I would probably say, man, you can't go wrong with Steph. As much as you love, hate him, it's just like, dude's a video game, right? Like, the dude's crazy. And then, so back to center, I guess Shaq, man. Put Shaq on there.
Awesome. I think I'm keeping Shaq. I'm keeping Steph Curry. I'm keeping Kobe. I don't know what position Michael Jordan played, but I'm putting Michael Jordan on my team.
He was a small forward. He was a small forward. Yeah.
Who's my fifth man? My fifth man.
It was your power forward, right? My fifth power forward.
And this may not be his position, but my fifth man is going to be Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Hey, it's close enough, man. Homie with the skyhook. Yeah, I love Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. He's a cool guy.
Michael Jordan's nowhere on your team, though?
Like, are you saying, like, who would be the best or who I'd have on my team? But don't get me wrong, Michael Jordan's the best, but I wouldn't want somebody like that on my team. He's a diva. Like, to be honest with you. I don't know. A lot of these other guys, they seem like they wouldn't be divas as much. Like Kobe, for sure, but I think him and Shaq together would balance each other out again. I'm going to stack two in a row here, and they're going to be kind of varying questions, okay? Would you rather have a pet snake or a pet ferret? So, like, you have to have one.
I guess a pet ferret. I don't do snakes. You know I don't do snakes.
Like, even if it's, like, non-venomous, super small snake.
Yeah, don't do snakes.
All right, so the next question would be, would you rather lose the ability to speak or lose the ability to hear? Like, you gotta lose one. Which one you losing?
Oh, I already can't hear that well anyway.
What'd you say? No, I'm joking.
I guess probably the ability to speak, because I can still write, so... it'd be all right if I didn't speak. Then I could get out of, like, having to be social. That would be great, actually.
Then I could call you Helen Keller and get away with it.
Last question for me on my end. If there is a specific memory, like, from our past that you could go back and relive, is there a certain one that you would want?
There's a few, like, Six Flags trips. Like Six Flags over Georgia trips. I wouldn't say Six Flags over Texas the first time, but probably the second time for sure. Like the first time, just a lot of stuff went wrong. Like, so I wouldn't want to have that. And then I go on a rodeo again. I think that would be pretty fun. I got to do that again.
Mine is the Six Flags trip where we went just on a whim and we could drive. It's probably one of the, not the last time, but one of the last times, because that one was a good trip. I can't believe that Buick made it all the way to Atlanta, by the way.
And back. Wasn't that the same, that was the same trip I broke my phone, right?
That was the same trip. And then probably another one I would say is, I don't remember how old we were, but just those few like days where I would spend the night for a couple days. And we would watch TV and prank call people or watch the Dave Chappelle show. Like, we didn't any cares in the world. Like, I had no cares in the world. So that was a simpler time.
Or call the pizza guy to the dude next door. Yeah, stuff like that. Yeah, that was good times. Good time. I would definitely do that stuff again. I definitely feel that.
Or the camping trip where we pranked those people.
Pissed everybody off. All right. So I got two questions, but I'll finish it up here. Would you rather have the power to enter your dreams or bring your dreams into the real world?
Ooh, I think enter my dreams because I don't want to bring my dreams into the real world. No.
Yeah, some of my dreams are wacky and insane, and I don't want to bring those out there. But hey, if I can step into it and kind of control some things and punch some people in the face, that'd be great.
Anybody in particular, Micah?
Oh, I think you know who. Let's see here. And then the last question that I have, would you rather spend a year living at sea, like on a boat, or a year living in a remote cabin in the mountains?
Oh, remote cabin in the mountains, bro. Sea, living at sea, that's going to make you crazy. But in the mountains, if you're a recluse, like, you'd be okay. I'd be okay with that.
Yeah, you think so? I think mountains be giving you, like, why you think all the cults are in the mountains too? Or like start up in the mountains, because there'd be some crazy stuff happening in the mountains too. I don't know. For me, maybe mountains would probably be better, but sea sounds more appealing. I have no idea why. It's like a year out at sea. All right.
It's going back to that inner thug that's in me. You know I don't like the water, dude. You know I don't like the water.
he don't even like pools.
Yep,
if it ain't heated,
if it ain't the hot tub, I dip my toe in, I'm like, yeah, nah, I'll be all right. Remember that one time you told Fat Cat, you were like, hey, man, he probably ain't going to get in the pool maybe like 2-3 minutes. He don't swim like that. And Fat Cat was like, really? Why? It was like, nah, like just watch him. Like, he'll be in the pool 2-3 minutes. And I dip my toe and I say, yeah, I'll be in here about 2-3 minutes.
Yeah. And then he was sitting on the side next to the fire. Like, he had this little fireplace deal next to the pool. He was next to the fire 2-3 minutes. He was out of there. And, but to be fair, bro, man, Fat Cat kept that pool. They never turned the heater on. So that thing was cold as in, I think the thermometer was like 68 degrees, 70 degrees, and that don't sound cold, but for water, that's pretty cold. That's pretty cold. So, all right, man. Well, it's been a great podcast. We got through all of our questions there. It was kind of, like you said, a good cop, bad cop, yin yang thing. So that was pretty cool. Man, I learned a few things about you, per usual with these episodes. But yeah, over at the Trash Can Network, go check us out over there on Facebook, on Instagram, and on the YouTubes, because we got fun content coming out on the YouTubes. And then if you're into that aviation style stuff, over at the Aviator Society. And Christopher, I'll be taking some flights here soon, so there's even going to be, like, I'm keeping the content fresh, but I'll be real with you. I'm having to dig into my archives to keep some plane content. So I'm excited to take some of these flights so that I have some fresh content to work with. Some full flight content. Hintity hint, hint, hint.
I'm excited that you're taking flight. So speaking of taking flight, I think it's time that we take the Starship and fly on out of here.
Let's get out of here. I'm Micah.
And I'm Chris.
And this has been the Donut Box Podcast.
Looking in your eyes, I see a paradise. This world that I found is too good to be true. Standing here beside you, want so much to give you this love in my heart that